Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised.
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up, because it is news chew time. Welcome back, everybody. Let's see, we are about to embark on a very, very bizarre show, Ben. We had lots of just fascinating crap that we didn't even get a chance to nibble on this week.
Yeah, I think this is honestly one of the first times Lou and I actually sat down for a good, 10 minutes and tried to sift through stories that... Because we just struck gold this week, and it was hard to come out with the ones that were going to be on top, so we hope... you listeners out there appreciate the stories we picked, because we think these might be the cream of the crop out of the stories we picked. And we found, at least, 16.
We had a lot. We also had some sent to us by friends of the show, so we did try to do as many of those as possible. But, man, there was just a lot this week. There was so much goodness this week. So please keep sending us stories. It just makes... I like that we had to literally debate what episodes to do. It's great. We even bartered on stories. It was great. Just, you know what? The old settlers would have been proud of us, Ben.
Yeah, our
pelt trading skills are high.
I think, Lou, you and I probably would have lived on the Oregon Trail. We would have survived all the way to Oregon.
Yeah, we wouldn't have wasted our time on Sarah when she got dysentery. We would have just kept moving.
Because fuck dysentery.
I don't care if a squirrel isn't enough meat, Sarah. It's what we've got, so deal with your dysentery self.
You know what always amused me about that game, though?
What's that?
Was, you know, your guy would fall out of a wagon, break his leg, and next day he would die of fucking typhoid.
Right. Well, the typhoid would crawl in there. Typhoid was like a bug. It would just crawl in there, and then it would multiply, and you just explode. None of that.
So what have we learned from the Oregon Trail? Don't break your legs.
Yeah, don't break... Well, I mean, back then, any sort of wound was essentially a death wish.
True.
So
that is true.
But anyways, Ben, you started the grand adventure of your senior year of college, and how is it going, Ben?
Oh God. About that. Well. So I think you know that I actually work on campus, and that in itself has been quite a journey in the past 3 days. The classes themselves haven't been too bad, though the one class I did have, the very first assignment was, hey, write a 5-plus-page paper. I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, thanks for the intro assignment right there. But, so, I've been working on campus since last August, so, you know, full year. And I came to find out, a day before the semester started, so last Tuesday, that they had just switched advisors for overseeing the program that I work with in the one department. And nobody decided to tell me this. And believe it or not, there is another guy on the campus that has my same name, but, you know, different initials for the middle name. And they sent a group-wide email to the employees, but they sent it to this guy instead of me. So I didn't get that about the orientation or whatnot. And then I come to find out, when I'm trying to put hours on my timesheet for this week isn't popping up. It's still stuck in May, because I called and found out that technically I'm not an employee, because I was supposed to get paperwork back in May that I never got, that was supposed to, you know, have me for the 2014-2015 year. So now I have to get all this shit sorted out tomorrow so I can actually start getting paid. So that was my fucking joy from last week.
Well, Ben, I think I speak for everyone when I say that just sounds fucking awesome.
Oh, you can't even believe. And I just, it kind of amazes me, honestly, how unprofessional places could be.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been working there for a year, so there's no reason as to why my email should have been screwed up, because my email was on the fucking roster.
Oh, such venom. Go with that, Ben. Tell me more about people you don't like.
It's not even just that, but it's just like, I mean, this is my job. I get paid from it. And if I can't get paid, I'm going to be pissed. I already have to spend a fuckload of money on books and that I'm never going to use. But let's just make that plain and clear. I'm never going to use these books. And then I have to try and get by without getting paid until, now mid-September. Awesome. So that was my unofficial 2-minute rant.
I liked it. It was filled with rage and spite.
Well, I think I would be pissed if they weren't getting paid.
Yeah, that's true. I think we all deserve to get paid, especially when we work hard for the money. Well, Ben, excuse me. Oh, I burped. You know what? I'm not sorry. I take back that excuse me.
So sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. Burps happen. Deal with it. So I went to the Milwaukee Brewers game today. And by coincidence, it happened to be a bobblehead day. Before you stop me, Ben, this is going somewhere relevant, I promise. So we got the bobblehead. It was for Gene Segura, who is the Milwaukee Brewers shortstop, for those of you who don't care. And so we got the bobblehead, and we got there, and wouldn't you know it, he's not in the starting lineup. And I had deja vu, Ben. Do you know why?
Because the Scooter Gannett bobblehead day that you and I went to, he didn't play.
You hit the nail on the head, Ben. Ding, 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 ding. There were no Dean Segura appearances today, just like there were no Scooter Gannett appearances. So I joked. So Ashley and I, my wife, are going to Hank Appreciation Day, which is also Hank Bobblehead Day. And I was like, if Hank is not in the fucking lineup on Hank Appreciation Day, I am going to be irate. It's not acceptable.
How often does Hank even come to the ballpark?
I think he still does. You know what? They sort of have focused on baseball now, which is probably good as opposed to the fun media gimmick. I'm sure that the Brewers were in love with it when they thought the team was going to be a lame duck at the beginning of the year and when everybody picked them to be last. So, I mean, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, I mean...
But I just thought that... I envision that the Brewers manager is like, you think you're going to play on your bobblehead day? Think again.
What happens if it's the starting pitcher and they're slated to start that day? Take him out?
Take him out for Manny Parra.
Moving on. Because fuck that guy.
Good call. Well, the reason that I brought that up, that I wanted to talk about baseball, is because it leads us into a little bit of current events, but something that's baseball related, but also related. It impacts all of us because this week a Little League team from Chicago won the American division of the Little League World Series. So they will be representing the USA against, I'm not sure. I didn't look beforehand. That's my fault.
That game already happened.
Oh, it did?
Today.
Did they win? Yep.
No, Illinois lost to South Korea.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't know that, because that was the Brewer game. I would have been sad. Anyway, while those games were going on, even before they made it to the finals, the Chicago Area Little League team got better ratings than both the Chicago Cubs and the Chicago White Sox. The game drew a 2.4 rating in Chicago, which means it was in 70,000 homes. Compared to the Cubs, which were a 1.5 rating, and the White Sox, which were a 1.4 rating. So, Ben, that's pretty funny, right? That's pretty great.
You know, for as dedicated as they say Chicago Cubs fans are, I mean, I guess they're putting their hopes in little kids now, because, I mean, what else can you do in Chicago? It's not like the team's a winning city.
Sure. Now, I will admit that it is a cool story, and I'm sure that more people were watching than usual, but it should not be beating your major league teams.
No.
Like, I understand that, you know, there's going to be increased eyes because it's in that concentrated area, but wow. And, I mean, it wasn't even, like, by a little bit. It was a substantial difference.
So midway through October, we're going to have high schools. They're going to have better coverage than the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, man, that's really crazy to me. And I just think that that's kind of sad, too. Like, the White Sox just won a World Series a few years ago, and they already have completely lost their audience. That's pretty impressive.
I just think of Chicago baseball teams, and I just look at dumpster fire.
Well, because that's been traditionally the case in our lifetime.
traditionally the case with the Cubs in particular. Mm.
But I mean, it's also kind of amazing. Like, I'm sure that those kids will hear about that, and I bet that's really cool for them. So, you know, good for you. Life gets way worse after this, so enjoy it. Seriously, take some time to truly enjoy how cool you are right now, because your life will be nothing but disappointment after this.
Unless you actually make it far. I mean,
which
there
has happened, yeah.
That have made the MLB.
It has happened. So, I mean, maybe not for all of you, but for most of you. A lot of you are going to be janitors. No, well, that's a numbers game. That's not me being, you know, I'm just saying it's a numbers game. Some of them will be janitors. It's inevitable. There's a lot of kids playing Little League World Series. Even if it's not an American kid, it could be a South Korean kid or probably definitely a North Korean kid.
Do the North Koreans even know how to play baseball?
I don't think that baseball is allowed because that would invite pleasantness into the world. And I don't think that's what they're about.
It'd be American culture in North Korea, and you can't have that.
Well, I don't know. They do dig basketball. And the worm.
Really?
Dennis Rodman? Yeah. They like Dennis Rodman over there.
Well, I knew that, but I didn't know we were talking about, like, Kim Jong-un doing the worm or something.
No,
Dennis
Rodman
doing the worm.
No, Ben. Don't do this to me right now when we're on the air. Oh, Jesus. Ben, Dennis Rodman's nickname through his entire career was the worm.
Oh, well, I don't watch basketball.
You're killing
so.
Me, Ben. But that's like standard folklore and legend shit, because when he played with the Bulls and Michael Jordan, that was basketball.
Yeah.
Dennis Rodman's a crazy person, though, so don't, you know, tread lightly. He's a crazy person.
Well, I know who Dennis Rodman is. I mean, I know he's nuts.
You know he married himself once?
Didn't he marry the city of New York, too?
Yeah, I think he might have done that. He also married some hot ladies along the way. I can't remember who specifically. I just know that he ended up marrying a couple of smoking hot broads for, like, 3 weeks.
For 3 weeks at a time?
Yeah. Or... Oh, I'm sorry about that. Broads don't like it when you call them dames. I mean, dames don't like it when you call them skirts. Ladies. Sorry, ladies. Moving on.
Speaking of which, because you said Dame, it reminded me of the new Sin City movie. Have you gotten a chance to see that yet?
I've not. Did you go see it?
No.
Well, that's not surprising. I already knew the answer to that, Ben. No.
What would you have done if I would have said yes?
God, I would have been blown away. I would have been happy. Here's the truth, Ben. I would have been happy because I introduced you to something that you are now really passionate about. So, like, I would take pride in the fact that I introduced you to something that you really liked a lot. And, like, if you went out and saw the movie, I would feel like a weird, like a big brother type of pride. Like, I turned you on to something that you thought was super cool. So you went right out as soon as the second one came out. But I also understand that, you know, money is tight and life is what it is. And you can't always just go check out Sin City, because I didn't either. So, yeah, it's all good. But, I mean... You should go if you can. I would like to go if I can.
I'll tell you what. I'll fly up to Kenosha for a day, and we'll go see it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's probably the most rational thing to do. We could just watch a whole bunch of movies at once. We could do Guardians of the Galaxy. And
I do want to see that.
I really want to see that. That I need to see. If I go to a movie, I have to go see Guardians of the Galaxy. It's just how it has to be, unfortunately. Speaking of superheroes, this is a great segue into this week's fancy art segment, Ben.
Yes, it is.
So this week we found two stories that are very, at least for our show, quite artistic, I think. Definitely works of art, Ben. Agree?
Oh, yeah, looking at this picture, I mean, somebody definitely took the time to, I guess put care into what they were doing.
Sure. So the first piece of art that we're going to talk about is in Russia, the Bulgarian vandalists there, what they like to do is they like to paint American superheroes on Russian statues. I think that it's beautiful. Here are the ones that I picked out. I like that Santa Claus is in there as a superhero. That is the shit. That is just awesome. Because I would love to see the Joker, Wolverine, Santa, Superman, Ronald McDonald, Captain America, and Robin all fighting crime together. Because those are the ones that I can pick out.
I don't know who the yellow soldier is supposed to be, or
I'm not sure who that person is.
Or the Ben Franklin looking guy in the back.
Yeah, that's the other one I couldn't figure out either. But I've got the Joker. I think Wolverine is right next to Santa,
Wolverine.
And then Santa, Superman, Ronald McDonald right behind Superman. Am I making that up?
Yeah.
I am making that up, or that is who?
No, that is Ronald.
Okay, and then Captain America is right, just to the right there of Ronald McDonald. Then Robin is kneeling on the ground.
It amuses me that they think not only is Santa a superhero, but that he's American.
Yeah, I think that's
what
awesome.
Amuses me.
And Ronald McDonald is a superhero, too, is just, like, that's a movie that I would watch. Hey, Zack Snyder, stop making Batman vs. Superman. I want to watch this movie.
And Superman's not even American. He's played by an Australian dude.
Yeah, that I don't care about. But I want to see Ronald McDonald like superpowers. I want to see him fight. I want to see Santa in hand-to-hand combat. With
or against?
No, I want to see them all fighting together, because it looks like they're all fighting together in this picture. I want to see all of those people, like, versus other, like, random famous bad guys from folklore. Like, whatever Russians think villains are to American society. Like, whatever they... Because this is perfect. So whatever they put on the reverse end would probably be just as funny to me.
And what the funniest thing about this is that the Russian embassy in Bulgaria basically, like, told them, like, the people that live there, that they're going to have to take exhaustive measures to prevent similar attacks in the future. And they're going to identify and punish those responsible for this.
What you call attacks, I call genius.
So apparently, in their minds, the Cold War is still going on and everything American is evil. And we can't just reach, you know, this unity and peace. Apparently we can't do that, so...
No, we're not friends. We're not.
No, apparently... I mean, the Cold War might have ended in the early 90s, but the U.S. and Russia are still fighting. They're still... They're not on a level where they're sending Christmas cards to each other. We'll say that much.
Although, if they did, I imagine it would just be Putin and Comrade Bear, like, arm-in-arm, waving...
But you know what might unify the U.S. and Russia's friendship?
What's that, Ben?
Is if, to tie into the second part of the statue story, is if somebody from America, preferably somebody in the government, goes to Germany and finds the giant Lenin statue that Berlin officials say may have been lost. The picture that they have in the article is Vladimir Lenin's head as a statue when they were dismantling it in 1991. And since then, it's been lost. Now, I'm not sure if it's the whole statue or just the head, but there is a part of the statue that's gone. And they're still kind of looking for it.
Well, look, some things are better left unfound.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Especially if they're old, you know, Soviet communist leaders.
Yeah, do they really want it back? I mean, it is a piece of art, though. I mean, if you look at the picture, I mean, somebody worked really hard on that. Like,
there's a lot of detail that went into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful. It looks just like the guy. Like, it's really very striking to look at. So, I mean, again, we're, you know, two pieces of beautiful art. In two back-to-back stories. I mean, really, again, another artist made something wonderful, and now how do you lose it? It's huge. Look at it. It's huge. You don't just lose stuff like that. That doesn't get lost.
Well, apparently they had buried it, and now they can't find it. I mean, if you buried it...
Buries a statue?
I don't... The Germans, I guess? I don't know. But the thing that I don't get is somebody would have to know where it was buried when you buried it, unless that person is dead. But even then, I'm assuming there's more than one person that knew about where you buried the statue of Vladimir Lenin. That wasn't a one-man project. I mean, you just look at the picture and you have three guys there, probably more around there, moving and operating the crane and whatnot. So obviously, more than one person knew about this. So I don't know... how nobody knew where they remembered where they buried it, so.
It's pretty amazing. There is a U.S. filmmaker, though, at the bottom of the article, which I think is really interesting, who he thinks that he might know where the misplaced head is, because in 1994 he made a documentary about it. So here's an interesting question. Is Russian news getting to us, like, 20 years too late? Like, they already knew about this 20 years ago? How come we don't know about it? Like, I feel like that's something that would have been newsworthy 20 years ago.
I think maybe they were sending pigeons over.
I don't even think it was that. I think that somebody finally just got out of Russia to let everyone know.
I think that's fair.
But anyway, so that's interesting.
Yeah, it's just weird because it's not like it's a small thing. It's a statue.
A very large statue.
And I mean, going back to, I guess, baseball, I mean, the Brewers have, what, 4 statues outside of Miller Park? I mean, those are not small things. So, I mean, a statue. And if you were to take one of those statues and bury it...
I mean, based off of the picture of Lenin's head, I mean, this thing is way bigger than a statue you'd see at Miller Park, even. I mean, this is like a giant stone monument, almost. Like, it's really big. I mean, the head is enormous. How do you just lose it? I mean, they're on scaffolding just to reach it. It's huge.
Can you imagine, like, the meetings for this, like, going into, like, yeah, we lost the head of Vladimir Lenin. We don't know where it is. We need to use the government funds to find it. And they're just like, this is the most important issue we have, is to find, like, the head of Vladimir Lenin, not the actual head, but the granite statue head of Vladimir Lenin. I mean, come on, Germany. Step up your game here. You gotta know where you buried this shit. I mean, this isn't hide and seek.
Yeah, I don't know. I, like, just even thinking about it hurts my head a little bit. Like, losing something of that size. You know what, Ben? You lose your car keys. You lose some change in your couch. You don't lose an enormous statue.
Like, because you think at the point where they buried it, there would be, like, a sign there, or, like, an excavation point, if they wanted to go back to it in the future, which apparently they did, that there would be, like, this is where something lies. But I guess maybe not, because, you know, vandalism, people would maybe try to dig it up for themselves. But even then, what would you do with the decapitated statue head of Vladimir Lenin?
The head is 5 feet 6 inches long. It's a person. It's really big. So, like, how do you not know where it is? I just don't understand. I don't know. But I'm glad that it's happening somewhere else. It makes me feel less stupid.
What if they put it on the other statue in Bulgaria and just, like, hit it behind something? So he's like a superhero. Or no, he's like the head from a Futurama. He's Richard Nixon.
Yeah, that could be. That'd be fun. I feel like I'd like Lenin more if he was sort of like Richard Nixon from Futurama. I feel like I'd enjoy him more.
I think everybody would enjoy Lenin a little more.
I mean, you know, he could have just not been a bastard, man. That probably would have helped his street cred a little bit. Speaking of having sweet-ass street cred, let's go to Maine, Ben.
Beautiful.
Our next story. Maine man, 19 years old, poses for new mugshot while wearing the T-shirt with a photo of his old mugshot. Robert Burt was busted for operating under the influence and driving without a license. After copping a drunk driving plea, he was ordered to spend 2 days in custody. So he went to do his 48 hours, and he posed for a mugshot while he was there. And then he was shown to his cell. And then they basically gave it to him, And then he went and made a t-shirt with the caption, Burt Family Reunion, sponsored by Bud Light and Somerset County Sheriff. Classic. This guy is awesome. He got booked, spent 2 days in jail, took the mugshot from that, and then when he went to report to do his actual jail time, he had a t-shirt made to give the ultimate F you to the man. I like it. I hate his mustache, though. That thing looks pathetic. He's going to want to lose that in prison.
Well, no, it looks like in the second picture, his latest one, looks like he beefed it up a little bit more.
I mean, it definitely looks better in the second one, but it's still not good. I mean, it still just looks like a little caterpillar. He needs to shave that shit. It's going to be rough enough as it is.
He looks too young to have a mustache that, like, Tom Selleck would have when he was 20.
No, Tom Selleck was already, he would wake up in the morning and just have a full beard. I don't think
Did he come out of the womb with just a full beard?
No, don't be ridiculous. He came out all soft and pink like the rest of us. Don't be outrageous, Ben. Just kidding. He might have. I would imagine that Tom Selleck at the very least had like a little peach fuzz already on his lip. Like he probably was already good to go. Like I didn't get peach fuzz on my upper lip till I was probably 14. And I didn't even get facial hair until I was probably in college. It was pretty bad for me, the facial hair thing. Anyway, this guy's embarrassing himself. It's almost like a cross between a Freddie Mercury mustache and like a French waiter. It's sort of an interesting mustache choice.
And what's kind of funny about this story is Bert said that even the cops, when he was taking his picture, they made him tilt the thing so you could see his shirt. And he said, quote, they laughed their asses off. So
yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? It's funny.
I mean, what the fuck else are you gonna do in Maine?
It's comical. Even if you're a bastard cop, I mean, you gotta laugh every once in a while. That's really funny. That's funny, whoever you are. It's like a playful little middle finger to the man. I approve.
Would this be something you would ever do, Lou?
Is this something that I would ever do? No. I mean, I do ridiculous things from time to time, but I wouldn't fuck around with the law in any way. Like, if I got arrested for drunk driving, which would never happen, but if I did, I would, you know, I would probably just take my medicine. Like, I broke the law. I fucked up. I probably wouldn't do that. He's young, and when I was 19, Ben, I might have considered it. It's something I might have done as a 19-year-old. Remember, Ben, you would not have liked 19 to 23-year-old Lou, probably. So you have to keep that in mind. You probably would not have cared for me nearly as much. So I might have done that, or something like that.
Very different from now, I take it?
Yeah, I was a much much more angry and sort of dickish person back then. Anyway, that's not what's important. I've changed. I've reformed. I wish that I had the balls to do that. That's why I like that story, because I think that dude has balls.
And what's kind of hilarious about this story is the picture in the bottom, the very first one, just happened in June. So this he just got arrested again for the same thing, you know, and it's August.
Right.
So I'm kind of surprised that he was able to actually... Well, I'm guessing he wasn't. He was driving without a license. But that he was actually able to get out of that within 2 months. Like, I thought he'd be in there for a little bit. But
yeah.
I don't know how that whole process goes. But, I mean, driving without a license and being under the influence under the age as well. I mean, that's a whole slew of charges that I'm surprised he got out of the first time. Unless he just escaped jail, I mean.
I like that you used the word slew. It's a good word. People don't use it enough anymore. I'm sorry that's what I took out of it. It was a beautiful tirade you just went on, but for whatever reason you said that word and it was all I could think about. Great word. Good work, Ben. A whole slew. Now, for the record, Ben, I did try to set you up twice to segue into this next story, and I really wanted you to take the bait, but you didn't, so I'm just going to force it on you. This is Lou's story that we bartered for this week. I fought for this one because it was submitted to me by someone I know who wished to be remain anonymous for particular reasons. But it's a wonderful story. Headline reads, "Man arrested after jars and jars of human penises discovered in his apartment." Well, before we... I mean, you already know what you need to know. Ben, so this is a thing.
Apparently, and what is wrong with this part of the world? This comes to us from Croatia. So... I remember reading a story, I want to say it happened about late 90s, about this German guy who would try to get, like, dates with guys, and he would take them back to his house, and they did this willingly, and he would put up the ad, and he would cut off their penis and fry it and eat it.
Oh.
And he would never force somebody against their will if they didn't want to, but if somebody was willing, he would do it. And I mean, that's kind of what this reminded me of. So I don't know, maybe this dude was keeping that in advance, but this penis collector now is just kind of maybe like a student of his. I don't know.
I would be stunned if that was true. How amazing would it be if that was reality? I mean, this is pretty fucked up. Apparently, this guy was just going around cutting off dead dongs and then putting them in formaldehyde and sealing them and then keeping them. Here's where I get fuzzy. You jar your dongs now, and you put them in formaldehyde, which you cannot consume. So what's going on here? Why are you collecting wangs?
Well, he is a registered nurse at a city hospital, but I don't know why he would ever do this, because it's not like he's collecting it for the hospital, not that the hospital would ever need, you know, dead penises, but...
Ben, if I ever have a band, I'm going to name them Dead Penises. Because I think that that's funny as shit. Hello, my name is Lula Muse of the Dead Penises. I'm sorry, go on. You were on a roll and I blew it. But I couldn't let you get away with dead penises. That's just awesome. All right.
Well, apparently the police couldn't let this guy get away with them either.
Ba-dumped.
Now,
Ben, do you think... It says that they're pickled. They're pickled penises. So the reason that we wanted to do the story was because I wanted to say a very specific phrase, and I'm going to try to say it without screwing it up, but I've literally not been able to say it one time without screwing it up.
Lou, don't let it be your margarine.
Nope, I got this. Peter Piper picked a pack of pickled peckers. Yes! First try on that round. There it is. Woo!
When did you die if his name was actually Peter? Because his name wasn't released. Yeah, we have no idea what his name actually is.
It's amazing that they're so concerned about concealing the identity of a man who collects dicks in a jar. I feel like that's something that people in Croatia are really sensitive about when they shouldn't be. I feel like you should let everyone know who the dick collector is when he gets to prison. It's probably something they'll want to know while he's sleeping directly above them. I'm just saying.
He's not a debt collector, he's the, you know...
Yeah, he's the other kind of collector.
But, okay, yeah, it's weird as all hell. It really is. It's out there. It really is. But what I don't get is, honestly, why they arrested him, unless they think he's, like, a murderer. Because, yeah, it's fucking weird what he's doing. But, I mean... Is it illegal? I don't know Croatia's laws.
I mean, look, this is one of those situations where, as a human being, you just know that whatever has happened here is wrong, and that person needs to be out of society, which is really what the law should be for in the first place. Right? Like, in concept, you want people in jail who are a menace to the rest of the population. Even if what he did is not technically illegal by Croatian laws, however, in America, it's illegal as fuck to dismember corpses without family consent. That's illegal as fuck. Anyway, regardless of what the laws are in Croatia, cops just recognize that this is a person who should not be in the world as we know it.
Well, then put him in a psychiatric ward. Don't put him in jail.
Well, I mean, he may go there eventually. He probably should go down there right away. A man who collects dongs without the intent to eat them, question mark, I guess, is better. I don't know how, but I guess it's slightly better. I don't know. And nothing's better about this. It's all bad. It's all very terrible.
But regardless, I mean, the man is now awaiting criminal charges, which has a maximum sentence for up to two years in jail. But yeah, I think he needs more psychiatric help than he does, like, jail time.
I would tend to agree. Due to, at least from what I know of him, he collects wieners in a jar.
And we're not talking, you know, the Hebrew national kind.
No, we are definitely not. This is not a Johnsonville brat. This is a man's brat. This is a man cane. A third leg. A cock and balls.
Yeah, it just... Oof. Like, when Lou brought it up, and I was just like...
It's easy to be repulsed by it, because as I think about it more and more, it is horrifically disgusting to think about. But at the same time, Ben, we needed this, all of it. It makes me not be able to speak, because I start thinking about it, and then I can't talk anymore. So I think about my wiener getting shoved in a mason jar.
What? They said that they don't know how... He started the collection, and we don't know how the police found out about it, but they assume, from what we've read, that he was taking it off of the bodies of dead patients. So this isn't one of those stories where I'm like, hey, if it makes you feel good, do it, because this is messed up. This is some messed up shit.
Yeah, some of the more messed up shit that we've ever addressed on this show. Ben, thanks for being a trooper on the pack of pickled peckers. Yes! Oh, God, I did it again. I feel so good. I'm so proud of myself.
I just want to go on a side tangent real quick before we move on to our next story.
Let's do that.
Because I saw you post about it earlier this week, and I have seen it all over Facebook, and it's just... I think you probably know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Because I got nominated for this.
Sure.
And that is the dumping of the ice water on your
sure.
head for
ALS ice bucket challenge. Sure.
I did not do it. I think the dumping of the water is I get that you're supposed to, when it happens, you're supposed to feel maybe the sensation of what people with ALS feel, and I understand that. But that doesn't solve the issue. Donating is a much bigger, you know, contribution to this. And I like what Charlie Sheen did. I don't know if you saw what he did, but he had this bucket, and he dumped it on himself, but it was of $10,000 that he was going to donate to the ALS thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just...
So, Ben, I mean, here's what I did. When I got nominated, I kind of tried to stay away from it. I knew a little bit about it, but I just sort of tried to stay away from it. And then I went and did research and read it, and really what's happened is it's got really bastardized. I mean, the people who created it, the goal was simply to raise awareness. What it was either you donated money or you dumped a bucket of ice water on your head, and then that's how you challenge people. But now it has sort of morphed into this other thing where people are doing it and they don't even know why. So what I decided was, after reading some stuff about it and trying to keep an open mind and look at both sides of the coin, was I just donated money to ALS directly. I didn't donate to other charities. I didn't do anything like that. I didn't waste the water for no reason at all. I just felt like I expressed my gratitude. I appreciated being nominated, and I apologized if they didn't want to see me get, you know, if they wanted to see me get soaked by cold water. But the reality was that it was supposed to be about donating, and if you chose to donate, then that meant that you weren't going to dump ice water on your head. And that was how I understood it, and that's how I still understand it. So if you donated and didn't dump water in your head, you shouldn't feel bad about it. You did what you were supposed to do. That's the purpose of this. So, I mean, you just have to know what it means to you. Don't worry about other people, because other people are dumb and don't get things all the time. It's easy to get upset about it because people are really abusing it and making it something that it isn't supposed to be.
It's just like, when I got, like I said, I got nominated for it, and I didn't do it and I didn't donate because I'm a broke college student right now. I don't have money to just give away, and I don't want to sound like a dick saying that, but I'm already spending so much money on fucking books and whatnot. I just do not have money to just donate right now. But like, when I got nominated, you know, people were like, oh, the clock's ticking, you gotta do it, and I'm like, no, I don't have to. And for you to keep forcing that is not making what the original intent of it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be about awareness of it. I know what the issue is, so I don't need to dump and waste cold water on my head. Because, and I don't want to go on a tangent here, but, I mean, you're wasting water that, I don't know, people in other countries don't have the privilege of even having.
Yeah, and that part of it is really dumb to me.
That's what I don't get. I mean, stand in your shower and turn on the water for, 10 seconds on cold. I mean, I don't know. It's still kind of a waste of water because there are people in this world that can't even get that, even in their own country. And yet we're just throwing it down on people left and right. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I get that it's for a good cause. I get that. I don't want to sound like the Scrooge of this. But I don't know. I just had to bring that up because I knew that you had posted about it on Facebook, and I wanted to make an issue of it since I also got nominated as well.
Yeah, but at some point everybody's going to get nominated, and it is what it is. Again, I just tried to look at it objectively, and I don't get mad at anybody who hates on it, and I don't, you know, people who are super defensive about how much good it's doing, I don't really care about that either. I did the research, I understood the principle of it, I did what I needed to do, and I moved on with my day. I don't care anymore. I don't watch the celebrity ones. Just don't care. It's cool. I donate money to charity. I did what needed to get done. Moving on. That's how I look at it. That's how I go through life. That's why my life is awesome. Ah, big sigh, because it's not true.
You know whose life isn't awesome, though?
Oh, I can wager a guess.
Our next story about a Jacksonville, Florida man. So, title reads, Man Rescued from Vending Machine on West Side. Authorities rescued a man from a vending machine on the West Side, according to a spokesperson for Jacksonville Fire and Rescue. Firefighters responded to a report at an industrial accident. There were no word on the extent of his injuries, and they're not sure how the man even got stuck in the vending machine. I guess he really wanted that Twix bar.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I'm disappointed about is I want to see, like, a picture. I want to see, like, in what way he's in there. And they don't really describe it for us either, which is weak. I want to know. I want to know how, like, and what kind of vending machine. There are so many different vending machines, then. Like, what kind of vending machine did he get actually stuck in?
Yeah, we're talking about, like, a food one, maybe a Pepsi one.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's different ones for soda. There are different ones for different sodas. There's, you know, there are so many different types. There are retro ones. Maybe it's an old retro Coke machine that he got stuck in. Like, I want to know what it was and how he got in there. I'm hoping that they're not releasing it because he stuck his wiener in the coin dispenser. But I don't think that's it.
Can you imagine, like, you know, I'm a person that when I walk, I walk with decent posture, but I'm always kind of like looking down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never really focusing on what's ahead of me, which probably isn't a good thing. But could you imagine if there was somebody that was like that? They're just, you know, going through their day, opening their wallet, going to the vending machine. They look up and they fucking see this guy in there, and they just jump back because they didn't notice him.
Yeah, that would be really terrifying. Now that you painted it like that, that's actually going to be one of my nightmares probably tonight.
I mean, Steve was just going for some Funyuns. He wanted to get some. You know, he forgot his lunch at home. And he's like, I'm going to get some Funyuns and maybe a Pepsi. And he looks up, and what do you know? Good old Ricky is in the vending machine. And he's like, that's so Ricky.
Like, but, you walk up, you walk, it'd be a funny prank, like, you walk up to it, you go to put your dollar in, and somebody, like, just, like, appears from within the chips and just goes, your time is coming, and then just fades back. I would pee, I would pee all over myself.
I can't envision that in my head. Not you peeing on yourself, but
but me, the guy, but me, like, emerging from a bag of chips, like
you just come between the Doritos and the Cheetos, and you're just like, soon, and then you just fade back, and the bags just go back to where they were. That'd be terrifying, actually. Yeah, man, I would be
really scared.
I mean, if you want to make a good, solid horror film, this is the stuff you need to work with right here.
Vending machines. A demon who travels through vending machines. Ben, we need to copyright that immediately. Someone is going to steal it. It's too awesome to not make. Actually, we should pitch it to Sci-Fi. I'm not kidding either. Not even a little.
Oh, my God. You know who would be perfect for that role? We can make it a comedy horror. You know who would be perfect for that role? Ooh. Bill Murray.
Bill Murray would never do it. They'd never do a sci-fi movie. We'd never get
him. But he'd be perfect for that role if it was a sci-fi comedy.
But we'd never get him. Who's like the knockoff of the knockoff Bill Murray? We'd have to get, like...
Not Bill Murray.
Pete Aykroyd, Dan Aykroyd's half-brother. I don't know. Oh, Jim Belushi, maybe.
Isn't he dead?
No, you're thinking of John Belushi.
Right.
Jim Belushi is alive and makes terrible sitcoms a lot of the time. But he would be... He was in a movie called... I don't remember, but he was in, like, one of the first, or one of the worst cop and dog canine buddy movies.
Oh, boy.
Anyways, I've gone on a horrible tangent, but the point is that don't steal that idea, because we're going to make it a sci-fi movie. A demon who travels through vending machines.
There are three reasons I think this man was in this vending machine. The first one we just talked about, he's the demon of the vending machine. Second reason is, I think he just wanted to stop people from getting through, so he just wanted to go in and block people from getting in. And the third reason is, I think he, when going in there, I think he knows where all the money is, so that way he's just taking and pocketing it for himself, but he didn't plan an escape route.
Yeah. Hey, Ben, let's play an impromptu hashtag game.
Okay.
I think this is a good one for the hashtag game. I don't know why I think that. It might be terrible. Hashtag addicted to the do.
Well, I can't even think of anything.
What?
This just kind of just sprung up on me.
Hashtag reach for the Snickers. Let's see.
Hashtag boxed lunch.
Hashtag C6 was a bad choice.
You just sunk my battleship.
Let's see. Hashtag, look, Mom, now I have all the chips.
Hashtag, dick in a box.
Well, wait. Yeah, that works. If that guy's
in, like, more ways than one, yeah, literally.
Good point.
The man's name could literally be Dick. He could literally be known as Richard. Right. I have no idea.
Fair enough. This one, I don't like this one. I'm not going to say it. Never mind. Cancel that last hashtag. That one I didn't like. I didn't like who I was when I did it. When I thought of it. I didn't like that person at that moment. It was not right what I was going to do.
Hashtag $1.50.
Yeah, now I'm out. I grossed myself out and thought of something really horrible, and then I couldn't recover. Oh. Sorry for springing that on you. I thought it'd be fun, and then it took a horrible turn, and now I'm depressed.
Well, Lou, maybe this last story will brighten your day.
Because
it is pretty funny. So, our last story of the day reads, insurance company pays man with buckets of change. According to an NBC News article, a California insurance company paid a 73-year-old man $21,000 in buckets of loose change. man, Andres Carrasco, filed a lawsuit in 2012 against Adriana's insurance service, saying he was physically assaulted by an employee from there. The company agreed to a settlement and went to the office of Carrasco's attorney with a check in 5-gallon buckets of quarters, dimes, nickels, and pennies. So, if you're going to send a message, I'm assuming that's one of the best ways you can possibly do it.
Well, now, there's two schools of thought here, Ben, and as someone who works in the insurance field, let me share with you some of my expertise. This was either just sort of a good old-fashioned middle finger, or what's more likely is that since this is some sort of jankety-ass hole-in-the-wall insurance company, my guess is that they don't have any real assets behind them, because from the reviews that I saw online, this place is pretty much, like, just a shithole. You just kind of bring them money, they agree to insure you. The reality, Ben, is that they may have paid them in coins out of necessity. Like, that may have been the only means that they had to pay that large of a sum of money.
This is almost like Solid or Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I mean, it really, truly could have just been like that was the only way that they could pay it.
But the one review from Yelp, and I don't know that I'd ever trust Yelp for reviews.
Well, actually, there's a bunch of them. I read a couple of them.
But the one they showed on the article was from the man's nephew, which, I mean, if you're going to do a random review, don't let it be some guy that knows the guy in the story, or let alone his family member, because then you're going to get, obviously, a biased opinion about it. But, I mean, I don't know that I really trust Yelp for anything, because those people just seem to hate life.
That's not entirely true.
Name me one positive person from Yelp. Yeah. But,
I mean, some of these are really awesome reviews. They're pretty good.
But what's kind of sad about the story is, besides sending the message of the 5-gallon buckets of quarters, dimes, nickels, and pennies, was that the man, the Andres Carrasco, who is filing the lawsuit against the insurance place, can't even lift the buckets because he has a hernia. He recently had a hernia operation.
That's just sad, sort of, that's just kind of some irony, I suppose. No, is that irony? I'm not sure. You got your money that you justly deserve, but you can't pick it up. I suppose that's some sort of irony, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not like he didn't get his money back, or money
it's
that
like
he was
the,
due because
it's
of
like
it.
The Greek myth of the guy who has to push the rock up the hill and it keeps rolling back down.
That just sounds like a bad part to Indiana Jones.
No, it's there's a Greek myth. I can't think of his name now. That's embarrassing. I definitely should know that. But he pushes his punishment for disobeying Zeus was to push a rock uphill for all of eternity, and every time he got to the top, it would just roll all the way back down to the bottom. Zeus is a dick. Paying people in buckets of change is a dick move, though, too. Like, you could, at the very least, you could have gone to a Coinstar or something.
Or, you know, wrote a check.
I mean, yeah, deposit all those coins. Because, yeah, your bank will take coins if you deposit them.
Well, even if he goes to Coinstar and doesn't, I mean, Coinstar's going to take out a fee, so he's still not going to get all the money that he's supposed to be wanting to get.
Yeah,
all the money that he's supposed to be getting isn't going to be, a small portion of it's going to be going to Coinstar. So this man still gets screwed either way.
Yeah, a small portion of this is going to go to taxes, so what's the diff? Wow.
So he can't lift the money, and the money is going different places. So
never mind,
it's
I lied.
Lose,
that's double
lose,
taxation.
Lose.
That's horseshit. Yeah. It's actually, I mean, I imagine it's really gratifying to, like, walk in there and be like, here's your money, fuckers. Peace. And then they're like, whoa, 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 you gotta stay here and count this. And they're like, trust us, it's there. Like, how did that go down? Yeah, I wonder how they confirmed that it was the right amount of money.
They walk in, drop the buckets, whip on some sunglasses, and, like, go, we're out. That's how they do, and they drive off into the sunset.
If it was in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, they would flip them the bird after they put their sunglasses on and then grab their crotches a bunch and stick their tongues out.
And then yell, wild card, bitches.
Wild card, bitches. There were lots of wild cards this week, Ben.
Yeah, there really were. So, like we said, we tried to pick the cream of the crop here. I think we did.
Lots of good stuff, though. I'm very, very excited every week to find new and horrible things going on in the world.
Oh, and speaking of which, we had a lot of new countries visit us this week.
Oh, yeah, let's get the rundown.
So, we had a lot of places that I never even thought that would visit us, but we had them, certainly. We saw a return, obviously, from the U.S. and the United Kingdom, but we added 6 new countries. So, we added Thailand.
Oh, I love Thailand.
Kazakhstan.
Ooh.
Taiwan. Italy. I'm surprised Italy wasn't on here before, to be honest. Brazil. And France. So.
Okay. Well, now, the French listening to us, I don't know that I can approve of that. But anyways, I also, just in honor of Kazakhstan. Alright, you get the idea. Kazakhstan, number one.
Yeah, I'm still looking at some glaring countries that have not appeared on this list, though.
Assholes. You know what? Let's not call them out yet. Let's give them time. We're still new. They don't know what they're missing yet. I'm curious if we've had any new weird searches lately. I don't think so, though. I looked the other day. I didn't see any bizarre searches that led people to our doorstep.
I think the one that drew the people from Kazakhstan, though, was, and I did see it pop up, was Lou Yells at Fake Children.
Oh, good. Episode. Are you serious?
Yes.
I hope they enjoyed it. I loved that episode.
Just so you fans at home know, Lou Yells at Fake Children was a popular episode this past week.
Oh,
26.
Happy to hear that. That was
Death by Selfie. Death by Selfie was number one.
Hot damn.
Followed by Death by Underwear. That episode just
won't go away, man.
It won't. And the Final Chamber of the Woo.
Oh, that was a good episode.
Margarine Incident in Peach Panties.
Classic.
Legend of Curly's Gold. And the Snuggle Factory, episode 3.
Snuggle Factory. Look at that. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening to some of the old classics. I don't think they're classics. They're still pretty new. Not really.
Yeah, but I mean, we're getting a lot of new countries, so
very exciting. Well, thanks for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at the News Chew, and a lot of you did this week also, so thank you for that. And you can also find us on Facebook at the News Chew with Ben and Lou. And I think we're going to start posting some of, because we find such good stuff every week. I think we're going to start posting some of our scraps. Because some of this stuff is just too good, Ben.
It really is. I mean, we literally sit down. Well, we're already sitting. We go through, you know, stories you guys give us and stories we find on our own. And just between, you know, all these combinations of stories Lou finds, I find, and that you send us as well, we do get a lot of quality stuff. And it's hard to pick out ones because then, you know, we look back and like, oh, maybe we could have done that story as well. So, I guess we can call it, well, we're going to say News True Rejects, but I think rejects is too harsh of a word. I just think runner up shoot.
How about the chewing room floor? Instead of the
fair
chewing
enough.
Room floor. I don't know. We'll work on the names. I'm tired. It's been a long weekend. Lots of just silliness. But anyway, Ben, what's our email? I never remember the email. Terrible.
Our email is newschewwithbenandlew@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Admittedly, I have not checked it. But
what if there's gold in there?
There might be, but last time I checked, nobody had emailed us except for the Google team. But
well, we like
maybe they're listening. But yeah, so you can email us, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, send us a carrier pigeon. I don't know.
I'll take the carrier pigeon.
I don't think one too.
I house them in my basement.
Do you?
No, come on, Ben. You know me better than that. That's a total lie.
True.
But anyway, that's all I've got for this week, Ben. Any closing words?
No, live long and prosper.